Good afternoon, Dashers. We would like to apologize for the posters that have been seen around the school. The name of the event is actually Flicks and Fun. Flicks and Fun. We apologize for the inappropriate kerning and wish to remind you that that language is still inappropriate in schools.
Oh hell, we're on a roll. I like this. This is fun. Let's do one more.
Finish video.
That's my favorite.
Good for recipes.
Holy moly! I was out in the quarry earlier today. I was picking up my rocks. I was picking them up and putting them down, putting them in my wheelbarrow, putting them in my buckets, putting them in the second bucket. The thing is, you have to put your two buckets in the wheelbarrow to get the rocks out of the quarry. I'm Quarryman Kurt. And I love my job because rocks really speak to me. It really speaks to me because every rock has its own sort of personality. And most of their personalities are like cold. They all have unique cold personalities is what I'm saying. And that's something that I really, really, I feel closely with that. Me and the rocks. Thanks for visiting me in my quarry today.
Good afternoon, Dashers. Could the disciplinary committee please report to Music Room V? Could the disciplinary committee please report to Music Room V?
Very awkward news, folks. Somebody wrote some dirty graffiti in the boys' bathroom on the first floor.
What? Headmaster, we have a very, very strict no graffiti rule unless it is art teacher approved. We've got to work on this.
X-rated? Is it X-rated? I'm sure it's X-rated. I know what kind of stuff gets written in the bathroom.
Yo, I'm finally here. Sorry. I forgot I was part of the disciplinary committee. My bad.
Zoinks. Graffiti? We can't have graffiti in there. The custodian's going to have a fit.
Albert will be fine. He's handled worse.
Boy, Albert is going to be pissed. I did not even consider Albert. We need to move on this.
Can we make sure that Albert is extra prepared with all of the paint removing supplies that he needs? Last time he was just like going at it with peanut butter, which does remove bubble gum from hair, but I'm not sure that peanut butter on the bathroom walls of the boys' room was the smartest move.
Can't we get that other guy to come in? You know, what's his name with the gray hair, but with the like gangly tooth?
Douglas Furbaby is, I think, the name you're looking for. He has that weird floppy tooth, and usually he can solve all of our problems.
Everything is going to be okay. I will chat with Albert before he sees it, and I'll at least talk him down a little bit.
Frankly, Albert and Douglas Furbaby, they've been fighting a bit, and I don't know if I would want them in the same stall working on the same graffiti, so maybe we need to split them up.
How about we use this as a way to have them address their conflict?
I believe that addressing conflict in the moment is the most successful way to learn from our mistakes and to grow as individuals. Yes, Headmaster.
Justice. We throw them in the stall. We see who comes out. Custodial justice.
Killing each other is hopefully not the result of that. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
Leaving the graffiti up could be an option.
Maybe
we get the art department to transform it into something a little bit more appropriate. Like they do when you regret a tattoo.
Now, I have a stroke of brilliance, and you are all right. We get the art department to transform it into something inspirational. We get both of our custodians in there one-on-one to work out their problems. Due to the nature that it's in the boys' bathroom, we call it Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm.
Two janitors enter, two janitors leave as friends.
Obviously, that is the most astute solution here. And if we get the art department kids in here, I think that we can make those two round objects into a very rocky coast. And that is definitely the top of a lighthouse with its beam shining out for the world. I really feel like the art department can make something beautiful out of this situation on the wall.
Possibly the art department could get frames and perhaps frame it and make something out of this graffiti in the bathroom so that we can start our own art gallery. Would be double time. We could charge admission because our art department is really good at making something out of nothing. And so not only could we charge something to go into the said Lou gallery, just named it, but also the custodians, Douglas and Albert, could be the doorman.
Quality graffiti is important, Molly. I think you made a good point there. At Veritas Prep, their janitors, instead of cleaning graffiti, they're trained in putting up beautiful graffiti murals. So I think we could maybe learn something from Veritas Prep, as much as I hate to say that.
Right now, I'm just feeling very emotional because you guys all embraced my art department idea and ran with it and made it something awesome.
Sounds like you made that up. That's why I like you.
Terrific news. What we'll do is we'll close down that bathroom. We're going to have a new fundraiser drive to the Alumni Association to build a new bathroom to replace the new art gallery. And I think we're doing very, very well. Marie, what do you think?
Underneath the bleachers, there is another really, really picturesque piece of graffiti that I think we need to address at our next meeting.
Very, very well done. Let's get on this. Good move, faculty. Excellent, excellent decisions.
Still want to see the custodians, duke
what
it out.
What are you doing underneath the bleachers?
I know.
Just inspecting.
Gonna make some quiche today with a little cake.
Okay, class, I'm so excited to have you all here today. We have a familiar face here in class today. We have a special guest teacher to help with our breakfast lesson today. Lunch Lady Debris!
Yes, hold your applause. I know I look good in these jeans. They're high-waisted.
Yep, you do. You look great. But that apron, thank God you got the apron.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it'd be a little too crazy in here. Watch this, gonna throw a spoon up. Cut it right
teeth. You are so good at catching those after you throw them into the air. That is amazing. Thank you so much for being here today, Lunch Lady Debris. We've got a really exciting class, me and Lunch Lady Debris. We've got a really exciting class planned for you students. We are going to be making your very, very favorite breakfast meal, lactose intolerant quiche.
Regular quiche.
Yes.
It's just regular quiche, guys. We just tell everybody that it's lactose-free, but nobody even knows that. That means cow juice.
It does. Yeah. Would you like to tell the students about the list of ingredients that goes into your very infamous quiche here served at Balderdash?
Would I ever? Thank you very much. I have it right here in my back pocket. In this quiche, you will need 17 eggs, 1 cup of flour, 2 pounds of butter, some walnuts, a handful of newt's eyeballs, 7 aspirin, 4 basil leaves, if you know what I mean by basil leaves, and 4 chicken feathers cooked al dente.
Those do seem like some very super special ingredients. I'm afraid that we don't have all of those, especially the freshly plucked chicken feathers.
Oh geez, you know what? You know what? That was silly me. That's my Hogwarts recipe for the magic. Oh, I'm part of a magic cooking class, and it's just,
yes.
Sorry about that, kids. Didn't mean to get your hopes up. All right. So, sorry about that. It's just, you know, it's really basic. It's eggs, a whole lot of milk. You can tell them that it's not milk. It's fine. And some ham.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Fantastic. And with this, we do have a couple of students here who have brought some ingredients that are going to be in their personal quiches here today. Would Daltrey please like to come up to the front of the room? Daltrey?
Down here.
Ah, thank Hi. Goodness. Thank you.
I love being in the front.
Yes, you're very good at it. I see today here that you have brought some Cheetos.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You wanted to add some Cheetos to
your
quiche here.
Cheetos.
Ms. DeBrie, how do you think the best way for adding Cheetos to a quiche, what method would you use?
What I would do personally, I would take that bag of Cheetos, I put it between my thighs, and I'd squish it hard. And then you rub it around a little bit, just like this. Look, everybody watch. Don't look at my high-waisted jeans. Just like this, right? And then what you're going to do is you're going to open up the bag, just like this, Sonny. Sonny, hand me the bag, son. Yeah.
Yep,
you're going to put your fingers in like this, rub them around, and then you're going to go into your batter. You just gotta sprinkle. You might want to suck your fingers a couple times first. And then you put it in the bag. And then you just dip it in the batter. And look at that. Lickety split. You got yourself some Cheeto quiche.
Cheeto quiche. I love it.
Yes. Thank you, Lunch Lady DeBrie, for embracing all of these new and interesting ideas from our students. We do have a couple other students here with a couple other quiche additions. Francis, would you please like to... Hi, Francis.
Yeah, I am right here.
Hi, thank you so much for being present here today.
Oh, thank you for teaching me how to make the quiche.
As we went over in our last lesson, you can say quiche, but most people won't know what you mean when you say quiche. It's quiche.
Oh.
Like geesh, except with a Q.
Well, I thought maybe after we'd made the quesadillas last week that maybe it would be quiche.
You know what? I can't say you're wrong about that. You know, that's just some common sense logic there. But today, Francis, you have brought this very, very brown banana peel to add to today's quiche.
I sure did.
How did you imagine using this banana peel in this quiche today? Maybe Lunch Lady DeBrie has some pro tips.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I make myself some quiche, is what I like to do. Is if I'm using a brown banana peel with you, you're a plucky young thing if you got yourself a brown banana peel, because you can't find these very often around these parts if you're looking anywhere that's not my kitchen. And so what you want to do is you want to grab this banana peel. You want to place that banana peel on the floor while you're mixing the batter. You want to look up in the air, walk towards the banana peel, slip on the banana peel, so it goes up in the air, lands in the batter, and you got yourself a delicious banana quiche.
So not only do you get the brown banana flavor, but you get a little bit of floor in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not certain we should be serving this to our students, but it might be boosting some immunity. So I can't say that you're not on to something here, Lunch Lady.
I serve it on Saturday mornings.
I like the banana. And as long as it doesn't have any dairy in it, I'm fine.
great. Thank you so much, Francis, for bringing that audition today. We do have one last student here today, Lunch Lady Debris, who has gone above and beyond, and instead of bringing only one additional ingredient, has decided to include a whole slew of things. Roger, would you like to come up and join us here, Roger?
Yeah, hi.
Oh boy, you've got your pickle juice there. You've got your rosemary, your sage, your muskrat, your venison, and your chocolate bars.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah,
that is a lot of things to add into a breakfast dish. And you know who's really, really good at exploring different flavors in different meals? Lunch Lady Debris.
Yeah.
Wow. Roger. Is it Roger?
Yes, it's Roger. Yeah. Yeah.
Roger. Can I call you Roger? Yeah, Roger. Roger, so pickle juice, rosemary, venison, and chocolate bars. Is that correct?
Yeah. Muskrat also.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot the muskrat. Look, aren't you a smart boy with the muskrat? So you must have been raised on a prairie.
Raised on a prairie, but I particularly enjoy your meatloaf.
Ah, you should, because it also includes a little venison, a little muskrat, and a little pickle juice. Wait, wait. Okay, so, Sunny, what you're going to do, you're going to mix your normal batter as you would any quiche or quiche. That's for you, Frankie. And then what you're going to do is you're going to make sure that you strip the venison and the muskrat and braid it together, right? So it makes kind of like a cow's tail, which is another animal, right? So it's just, you know, very animalistic there. And then you're gonna put said braided muskrat venison tail inside your batter and just kind of whip it around, you know, get the flavor in there, but don't leave it, just whip it around, you know. Next you're gonna take the rosemary and you're going to pickle it in the pickle juice. and then what you want to do is take the pickled rosemary and pluck it right there in that batter. And then you're going to crack your eggs on the floor. All right. You're just going to crack them on the floor. You're going to put
your
bowl
down
on
the floor. You're just cracking egg after egg there, lunch lady.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, a quiche is made, they say by breaking a 2 dozen eggs.
Yeah, sure. We are really rolling through those eggs there. Thank you. That is 6, 7, and 8 eggs you have cracked on the ground. Thank you so much, Lunch Lady Debris. We do need to make sure we have some eggs left for the quiche. Students, I am so proud of all of your really innovative ideas for quiche making. And I just, can we have a round of applause? Thank you for Lunch Lady Debris. Oh my goodness.
Thank you.
It's a joy to see you out from behind that counter. Thank you so much for joining me in my class today.
Uh-huh, see you by the counter.
And making such a mess.
If you like Balderdash Academy Teacher's Lounge, see where it all began with Balderdash Academy. Watch real competitive comedy from a real fake school. Find us on YouTube or your favorite podcast service.
Okay, all right. These kids just absolutely ruined quiche making day. There are broken eggs all over the ground. There's cheese shavings all over the walls. Like I cannot clean all up this all up by myself. I'm gonna need to call in some reinforcements. God, I hope the janitors are done with the bathrooms.
Did you say reinforcements?
Oh my goodness! So glad.
Albert!
Thank you, Albert!
Favorite janitor at Balderdash Academy.
Yes, my favorite janitor here at Balderdash Academy. Kid.
I'm here to clean up the mess.
Oh, doggy! You're here yes. too.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. As you can see, there has been like a really huge mess here. The kids really took quiche making day. To the extreme, and there's just eggs everywhere and cheese on the walls, and I've got turkey bits like on the counter over here that I've really got to take care of, and I need some help.
Okay, I'm the specialist that they call in when there's cheese on the walls and turkey bits on the floor.
Shown you how I get my turkey technique to get the scraped on poultry off the floor?
I'm sorry, Douglas, but I was in the middle of a spiel explaining how.
Oh, I didn't know you were here, Albert.
Ooh,
Dougie?
I'm feeling some tension here, Balderdash Janitors.
We're fine.
Yes,
we
clearly.
We worked it all out in the new Loo Museum.
I have been there. It is amazing. I'm so excited with what the art department has done with the boys' room. I went in after hours when there were no students around. Please don't be alarmed. I just needed to see the new Loo art. So great. Albert, Dougie, Dougie, if you could use that special turkey technique to work on these turkey bits. And Albert, really hope that you're good at caked on egg bits. All right. I'm just going to go get some more soap and water and just make sure that you guys are going to clean all of this up. Thank God I've got these reinforcements. I'll be right back. All right.
Caked on egg bits was what they called me in middle school.
Flashback to middle school.
Hey, caked on egg bits.
My caked on egg bits.
Hey, caked on egg bits.
You're supposed to use raw egg to make the mohawk.
Oh no, everyone makes fun of my face.
Foreshadowing.
We return to present day.
Notice how I'm using your technique, Albert.
That's my patented technique.
Yes, your technique to remove the turkey from the...
I will own your job.
Oh, no, you didn't. I will take over your job, too, whatever it is. I can't remember what you normally do.
Well, it's a long story, Albert. At one time, I was just the lowly janitor and equipment manager. Then, I got my big break at Duke.
Wait, Duke University?
Duke University.
Cut to Duke.
That's right, kids. Now throw the ball at the hoop.
I'll throw the ball only when I want to throw the ball because I'm on here on a scholarship and I will do whatever I want when I want to. Thank you very much, coach, air quotes.
Look, I just need you to put the hoop in the ball in the hoop. That's how Coach Steve used to do it.
Do you know who my daddy is?
Yes. But he doesn't... See... I'm not supposed to be impressed by your daddy, but I have to be impressed by your daddy because he owns the school.
We return to present day.
Yes, yes, I may have squandered my dream job, but I'm back and you're in my line of sight, Albert.
That's funny because I can barely see you because my eyesight's so bad.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I had this giant, huge snaggletooth I have to deal with.
Oh, that's funny. We both have our own problems to deal with.
All right. Albert, now I feel bad trying to destroy you.
I guess I feel bad trying to destroy you as well.
You know what, Albert? Let's clean up this mess together.
Wait, nobody has ever offered to clean something with me. Only people tell me what to clean and when to clean it, and with what to clean it with.
Cut to montage of people telling him what to do.
Albert, could you help me clean up this coffee spill? I have some vinegar spray in the corner.
Okay.
Paging Albert. Has anyone seen Albert? Albert, I need you in the language arts department. We have a big spill of code word banana pudding. If you could please bring the white vinegar and baking soda. Albert, please. Anybody seen Albert?
Hey, Lou, you around here? Lou? Hey, you, old guy, could you help me clean up these spilled prawns with a, I don't know, this bleach or something?
I'm just here to rent Triple X Men.
This is Dispatch calling Albert, the janitor of Boulder Dash Academy. We have a road spill on the corner of Brooklyn Ave and Zoe Street. Please report with a mop and bucket. This is Dispatch of Boulder Dash County. Thank you.
Hey, Albert. I think I spilled a soda in the console. Could you clean it up?
We return to present day.
You know what, Albert? Let's clean this together using your Turknique.
That would make my entire life worth living. Just this moment, you and me cleaning turkey off a wall.
All I'm saying is that each one has their own, like, personality. Each one has their own take on what it's supposed to be in the universe. That's all I'm saying.
So should I go with a silicone or metal straw? I just can't make up my mind.
Dude, you just... let it decide for you, right? So, the metal straw says to me... I'm strong. I'm reusable. I can handle hot and cold. Mess with me and I'll chip your frickin' tooth. Right?
That's
There's
true.
An anger to the metal straw. The silicone straw says, hey, I'm soft, I'm pliable. You might be able to bite me in half, but I'll still deliver what you need. Right? So, like, find the personality of the product and go with it. That's what I'm saying.
You have really enlightened me. To straw etiquette, and I think I'm going to go with the 50 Shades of Grey combo pack where I have the soft, pliable straw with the hard, rugged straw.
Right. See? Yeah. Now, the nice thing about that is if you get the metal straw lubed up enough, it'll slide right into the silicone one, and you have, like, the best of both worlds.
That's amazing.
Right? It'll both burn you... But it's also heat resistant.
Man, I didn't read any of that stuff in the catalog.
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Svensson. I am Stuart Apple, and I've been in the business long enough to know how to get the job done. Or else. Now, welcome to Aggressive CPA. We do your taxes or else.
Thank God we're here. We're a mess. We're just a complete mess here.
Now, that's, you know, I'm glad that you sent your stuff ahead of time. My team and I took a look at the information. I think I have a solution that could help you. First, our other clients are very, very high profile. Many of them are in witness protection. So we know how to move your money to the places where the government won't be able to find it.
Oh, so thank God.
It's my job. It's what I do. So the team here at Aggressive CPA came to a couple of conclusions on where you might put your money to best serve your future portfolio.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Have you considered the Russian mob?
We talked about that.
I don't have all of the connections to the mob that my husband does, but you know, we're very open to it.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, they've been in business a long time. They're, you know,
they seem to be reliable. They get the job done.
I can't find anybody that says a bad thing about them.
No,
mostly that's because they kill anybody who says a bad thing about them. But I can definitely guarantee that they know how to invest. They're one of our biggest ROIs. The return on investment into a Russian mob stock is, frankly, through the roof. You know, you could also consider the Yakuza if you want to branch out into different markets.
Ooh, I think I'm only comfortable with a slight Russian accent. I'm not quite sure how I'd be able to communicate with the Yakuza effectively. Mm. So I think we'd like to stick to the Russian mob. If that, how does that sound to you, hubby?
That's good. It's good. I agree. You know, the translation thing. We don't want to get things too muddied.
Yes.
How about if I were to offer you an investment opportunity where the only thing you would need to handle is a slight German accent?
That sounds like best of both worlds, really.
Danke.
I talked to my Pennsylvania office, and we might have an opportunity to get you in to the Amish mafia.
Oh, great. No. That's low tech and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very low tech with them, right? There's
very low tech. I can guarantee their systems cannot be cracked by federal agents.
This seems like a no-brainer to me.
Well, they have a real hands-on approach in the way that they invest in their crime and how to return your investment to you. A little joke my Pennsylvania office likes to say is, have your money go on a Rumspringer.
Rumspringer, yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Once the investment has been made, we never had this conversation.
Of course.
Of course.
Absolutely.
However, I think you might find a winner in Pennsylvania.
You know what? I think we are ready to invest. Like, all the withholdings we had, you just take them. That's how taxes work, right?
That is exactly how taxes work through Aggressive CPA.
Great.
Let's write up this paperwork. And remember, we never met.
Thank you, Mr. Apple. Nice to have never seen you before.
Mr.
Apple, are these ready to be taken and filed? Because I'm ready to do it aggressively.
What can I say? We're dedicated.
Do you like 80s television? Of course you do. Do you like helicopters? Of course you do. Do you like men serenading eagles by the waterfront while playing cello? Yes. Yes, you do. If you'd like to hear more about helicopters and cellos, please be sure and tune in to Ciampa and Klein the Airwolf Years every week on your favorite podcast service. Join hosts Greg and Dave as they discuss every single episode of the classic 1980s television series Airwolf. Be sure and subscribe today.
Hey Dasher fans, Coach Steve here to tell you about a brand new podcast I'm hosting called Head to Head. Each episode features a new guest competing against a member of the Balderdash Academy faculty in a game of pointless trivia. Join me and my co-host Randy Hunt as we see who is more intelligent than a fake professor. Now available on the Balderdash Academy feed on all your favorite podcast apps.
Thank you for the first annual gardening meeting. I am Sally Fielding, the Balderdash botanist. Thank you so much for joining me here. I know that this is our first gathering here today, but I just wanted to tell you all how excited I am about the additions that you have all brought to plant here in our community garden. First of all, The four of you that have joined me here today, I would really love to get to know you better. So I really appreciate that you've all worn some name tags. So I'm just going to call you up here one at a time so you can say your name and tell us a little bit about yourself. And then we'll go over the item that you've decided to plant here in the community garden. Josephine. Thank you so much, Josephine. I love that decorative name tag that you've brought.
Thank you. It's bedazzled.
It is. It's gorgeous. I love the little glitter accents on the corners. Thank you so much for taking the name tag serious.
Thank you.
So this item that you've brought here today, I know that they are just little seedlings. However, this package of dewy magenta wheat, could you just tell me why you thought this would be a great addition to our community garden?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So I was at home over the winter and I was watching Rocky Horror and I was thinking to myself, how could I get this robust a presentation in the field? And then Magenta started singing and I was inspired. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I took the magenta out of my computer and a bottle of Mountain Dew and a handful of wheat berries, and I soaked them for about 3 weeks.
Very smart.
Thank you. Thank you. I then went through a very complicated process in one of the labs in the first lower basement. When I planted the wheat, it came up as dewy and magenta wheat.
And this is something that I think that our community garden could really benefit from. You know, that dew that naturally occurs could help water the other plants. I think that this is a wonderful addition.
Yeah, and the nice thing is the wheat will eventually look good in a bustier.
Yes, you're so smart. And I love that you're thinking ahead here, Josephine.
Yeah, as superheroes come to feast, if you will.
I will. Yeah.
And I hear they go great with meatloaf.
Wonderful. Maybe we can start serving some of that at school. That would be a great way to, like, sustainably resource our community. I love the way that you're thinking, Josephine. Thank you so much
for your contributions. Bless my soul. Here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And next we've got Geraldine. Thank you, Geraldine, for joining us here today. I see that you have brought us some itchy indigo turnips. Is that what those large root-like vegetables are? I think those are turnips. Would you like to clarify for me?
Yep, they're turnips.
Great. And what is it that makes them so vibrantly indigo?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. You know, indigo has just always been my favorite color, and I thought to myself, well, how can I make, you know, a turnip that looks so much like my favorite color? And when I thought, you know, purple is what everybody does, and I just thought maybe, you know, more of a bluish color, and I just honed right in on my favorite color, indigo.
Yes.
And that's what I did.
Fantastic. And I love how the indigo of your turnips will match the magenta of the wheat from Josephine here. One quandary, though, I'm a little concerned because I touched those turnips for a mere moment, but I'm having a bit of a reaction. My hands are quite itchy in this moment. Those of us that were trying to maintain this community garden, how would you suggest we handle the itchiness?
I'm glad you asked that. You know, there's like 40% of people that taste soap when they eat cilantro, and it's those same 40% that have this itchy reaction. So if you taste soap when you eat cilantro, I would suggest you not touch my indigo turnips. That's probably the easiest solution.
And you know what? I think everybody at this point knows if cilantro tastes like soap or not. So that's just a great rule of thumb.
It does for me, which is kind of a problem.
Yes, you should be wearing gloves, Geraldine.
That's why I wear gloves.
Great, thank you. You know what? I think that we'll get a little sign to put in the garden there. Perhaps Josephine could bedazzle the sign a little bit to make sure
I think
that
maybe if we put like a little bowl of tortilla chips with some salsa with a lot of cilantro in it, and to say, here, take a chip with some salsa, and if you taste soap, don't touch the turnips.
I I think that salsa sitting in the hot sun all day would go really well. But it is a great way of testing your taste buds. And
the salsa can all be made of other ingredients in this wonderful garden.
Yes, we do have such a wide variety of wonderful items here. And we've got a couple other people here with items to provide to the garden. Sandra Dean. Thank you so much, Sandra Dean, for being here. I am so excited about this giant, mighty oak that you have brought here, Sandra Dean. Thank you so much.
Oh, heidi ho.
Hi.
Is it an oak?
Yes.
It's mighty.
It's very mighty, but there's something that's so incredibly special about this mighty oak. It is.
Oh, yes.
Consistently moist and the color cyan. So this is not just mighty, but one of a kind.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's mighty. Yes, mighty oak. It's a bit moist, and yes, it's mighty. I plant it like a Thor, and bent it up, bloop, it just blooped up there, you know what? And it, it's, you know, lots of that is going on.
It seems like perhaps that you brought this from your homeland.
Yep.
Yes. So great that we have so much culture coming into this community garden.
Oh, yes, yes.
Here. Yes. Now, I know normally oak leaves, when they fall off the tree after they've turned green and then they start to turn red, they'll, you know, fall comes and they fall off the tree. But these leaves are cyan. So I have a little concern of what sort of colors they're going to turn come autumn.
Oh, it's a good set of the poison. Yes, sir. They're not good for people. They go. And they fall. They fall from the trees.
And they're going to poison people? Is that what you said?
If you touch them. Yeah. They're good killers. Good killers. Mighty oak. Yes.
It is mighty. And
moist.
Moist. Yes. Let's make sure we've got a really good, keen cleanup crew come this fall, because I'm a little concerned about the bio poisonous hazard situation.
Okay, okay. I'm gonna go out and get Albert.
Okay. Oh, bye, Sandra Dean. Wow, she is fast. Okay, well, janitor's coming, so that's good. But we do have one final addition to the garden here. Kendra Dean. Thank you so much, Kendra Dean, for being here. This is possibly one of my favorite absolute contributions to the garden here. Every garden needs its fair share of weeds, but you have not only brought us weeds, Kendra Dean. You've brought us flaccid, light chartreuse weeds. These are immaculate.
Well, I really like weeds a lot. And so I thought that a guardian could really use some weeds that were a little light chartreuse because they add a little pizzazz to a garden like this. And I thought that would be really, really good.
That's so wonderful. Now, you have very specifically chosen not chartreuse and not dark chartreuse. But specifically light-toned chartreuse weeds that are also not erect.
No, I want flaccid because you're more looking at weeds and you see the weeds and you think, oh, there's weeds. You don't want the high weeds. It's just scary. No, it's just scary weeds. What you want is droopy weeds, because droopy weeds, they're not so scary. And then if you get them too dark, then they're spooky. And then if you're too light, then you don't even know. And so I thought, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to do in between them. So I do a light chartreuse, and they just flaccid, and they just look, you know, they're pretty.
That, They are of a beautiful array of weeds, and how low to the ground they are and how flaccid they are, I think will really, really complement our dewy magenta wheat from our wonderful Josephine, the itchy indigo turnips, which will have the special salsa sign from Geraldine, and then Sandra Dean, maybe she'll come back. I'm not sure. Seems like she went to get a janitor. That moist cyan mighty oak, which will have poisonous leaves come autumn time, we will need to reassess that. I think that these flaccid light chartreuse weeds will make a great complement to this community garden. Thank you all so much for joining me here at Balderdash Botanist Club.
Thank you.
Can you pass the tortilla chips?
Tony, we have to practice more if we're ever going to be rock stars. So when I say that rehearsal is at 4, I mean rehearsal is at 4.
It's only 4:02. And I'm sorry. I know last week we talked about
commitment.
And you said if I showed up late again that...
You didn't have commitment.
I didn't have commitment, and I've showed up late again. But it's only 4:02, and look, I want to be a rock star. That's all I've ever wanted. And
me too, man. Me too. So let's play the sweet music.
Okay. All right. You start playing the sweet music, then I will play back up on the sweet music.
Okay, so when we talk about music, are we talking about like guitar music, or like should I bring out the synthesizer? Because I have the cowbell that I've been working on, and I thought maybe I could like show you that.
Obviously, before we start playing the music, we need to come up with the name of our band, because that's the most important thing. Whether or not we can play music is kind of irrelevant. We need a kick-ass band name.
Yeah, like Hot Tuna.
Hot Tuna is great.
Okay. All right. Or maybe Wimpy Lettuce.
Yeah, I like that too. Hot Tuna and Wimpy Lettuce. Like you could be Hot Tuna and I'm Wimpy Lettuce. And that's like our stage names.
Moist. We can describe our shows as moist.
Moist is pretty good.
Tony,
moist is pretty good.
I have your snack. Do you want me to bring it down into the basement for you and your friend?
Yeah,
seriously.
I brought my mom with me, and she brought snacks. So
serious.
Your mom loves hanging out with my mom. I'm sorry if it's kind of too much.
The commitment, John.
I know, but my mom is really committed with the snacks.
Like, I do like
we drove
your mom's
across
snacks.
Town, and she brought snacks. And you know what? If it happens to be tuna, then we know that it's meant to be.
Serendipity, bro.
You know what? We should let my mom into the band.
Okay.
Martin, do you want some soda with your friends?
Yeah. Can it? Well, is it orange? Is it orange soda? Because you know orange soda is my favorite.
I went and got you the Fanta like you asked. It's orange.
Rock on, Mom.
Hey, Martin. I think we need both our moms in this band because we need a drummer.
Yeah.
And we need a synthesizer player.
Synthesizist. We may have to work on that.
Yeah, we'll work on that one. Hey, moms.
Moms.
Come on down. We're going to talk to you.
All right. Here's your bottles of soda, honey.
Your tuna melt. I'm sorry, the lettuce got a little wilty on the way over.
Oh my god, Tony! Martin, this is crazy.
Blown back.
This is meant to be. We're hot tuna and wimpy lettuce.
All right, our moms. Look, you know that Tony and I are super committed to this band.
Yeah,
so committed that we get here on time.
And we're very proud of you, honey.
Thanks, Mom.
And so talented. The most talent.
Thanks, Mrs. Stark. So what we're thinking is that you moms should not only supply all the snacks, but also join the band.
Yeah, so, Mom, we're picturing you playing the synthesizer, and Mrs. Scorsese, you're going to play the drums.
The synthesizer.
Now, while I am very well versed on hitting those sticks on those dank skins, I just have to say, Tony, I was a little disheartened that you showed up 2 minutes late today. I mean, my little boy isn't down here trying to waste some time. I mean, if I'm going to join this band, you better be on time.
I'm sorry. It's my fault. You know, I just needed to make sure that the tuna was the exact right temperature for the drive over, which meant it had to stay in the refrigerator just an extra 2 minutes. Don't be mad at Tony. You can be mad at me.
Well, I understand, but if you need to be committed to this endeavor, we need to make sure you both are here on time. We just can't be here with the lead guitar and the drums banging away on nothing, and next thing you know, no synthesizer, no voice. I mean, this is not who we are.
Look, guys, who are we? The Beatles? We gotta stop fighting amongst ourselves.
Honey?
Just commit to the music.
Oh, yeah?
Have you seen my moist, warm tuna fish sandwich?
Yeah, sorry, I brought my other mom, too.
yeah, down here, honey. I have one for all of us.
Oh, it's a basement tuna fish sandwich now. All right, I'm coming.
Hey, Mom. Mm-hmm. We've already kind of filled all the major roles in the band. Would you be comfortable just whacking the tambourine?
Now, I have to be honest, a tambourine player is very important, but you're a good 5 minutes late now. I mean, it's 4:07.
Oh, Mom, with the commitment.
Well, that's because we couldn't find parking. We just had to make sure that there was a parking spot nearby. So that's it. We promise we will not be late ever again.
All right. I hear you say that. But my Marty and I, we need a higher level of commitment.
Yep.
Well,
you know, she is committed to the tuna fish sandwiches, Mom. So, yeah. Maybe we could just give
that's
her.
That's huge.
Yes.
It's really good.
Okay, I think it's settled.
Yes.
It's very moist.
It's good. Great. Before we begin, I'm going to go get some pickles.
Yes. Perfect.
Ready your megawatt beam rifle, load your hyper bazooka, and prepare to launch into your own mecha-sized adventures. Mechasys is a Genesis supplement from Studio 404 Games that empowers players to create fantastic towering robots for use in their tabletop RPG campaigns. Available now at Studio404Games.com.
Are you not sure what to do with your money? Are you wondering where you should be putting all that dough that's going into your mattress? Well, let me tell you, over here at Aggressive CPA, we got you covered.
Aggressive CPA? I've never heard of them. Why? Who's asking? I've never. Have you heard of them? Because I haven't. I gotta go. I have some. Bye.
We're so good that people won't even remember that we've done their taxes for them because we are that good with numbers. We know numbers from 1 through 1 bajillion, and we can go all the way back down again. We even use calculators if we need to.
I never met Stuart Apple at Aggressive CPA, and he told me exactly how to invest all my withholdings because that's how taxes work.
If you're not sure what to do with your taxes and you're looking for something good and where to put your money because you're not sure where to put them and your grandmother told you that you should talk to somebody but you're not sure who to talk to but you want to talk to somebody but your uncle's Jeff's cousin's sister Vinny told you not to, well, we got your right place right here. You want to hear it straight from somebody who did it?
Look, there was a time when I just figured, hey, why the hell not? I ended up putting all my funds through Aggressive CPA. When I get out in 25 years, they're never gonna know what account it's in. They're brilliant. Brilliant.
You want squeaky clean? Baby, we got you squeaky clean. At Aggressive CPA, where we never met.
We All Have a Story is a podcast dedicated to learning more about the folks around us, one person at a time.
we'll chat with accountants, bus drivers, entertainers, novelists, beekeepers, piano tuners, booksellers, artists, and more. Check out We All Have a Story using your favorite podcast app or service.
Thank you for joining us here in Couples Therapy. Tonight, we're going to talk about commitment, what it means to be present in the relationship. Okay. All right. I see a lot of heads nodding. This is good. This is good. Being present is important. Very important. So, James, let's start with you. I would like you to tell us, tell the group, why you think being present in the relationship is important.
Okay, well, being present in a relationship is important because when you're present, you're actually there and you are validating your partner's thoughts, and it minimizes the likelihood of getting a cast iron pan thrown at your head when you're present.
I'm sorry, James. A cast iron pan thrown at your head.
Yeah.
You've had a cast iron pan thrown at your head.
Yeah, a number of times.
So this has not been like a one time. This is a bunch of times.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I've not been present for much of my marriage.
Okay. Like mentally or physically after being hit with a frying pan?
Mentally, physically, existentially, pretty much in any way that you could not be present.
You were not there.
That was James. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Betty. Betty. How does this make you feel that James hasn't been present, and yet also, let's speak a little bit maybe about your violent tendencies with kitchen supplies?
Yeah, I've noticed James has not been super present. And as a professional frying pan thrower, that has really affected my career. And it's really, my aim has been off for years because I just haven't felt the love that I honestly think I deserve. And so when I'm practicing my pans, just it's not been good. And I've missed regionals about 4 years now. And the only thing I've hit is the people that live in my home with me.
Which would be your husband, James.
Yes, yes. And our various pets, yeah.
Oh, and your pets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And our children, I should.
And your children.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This guy who's been renting our Airbnb for about a year and a half.
And a tenant.
Yeah, that weird guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
James, how do these errant frying pans affect you? Explain to us what it means to come home and then see cast iron coming towards you.
Right. Well, not to be flippant, but it hurts. Not just in my head or wherever I'm hit, but deep down inside, I mean, I feel like, yes, I'm present in the path of this flying pan, but I feel like I don't matter. I don't count enough for you to avoid me with the frying pan. It kind of, you know, it hurts. It hurts. I mean, I know this is very important to her and it's something she wants to do with her life. And I want to support her in everything that, you know, her hopes and dreams. You know, unfortunately, you know, this is a dangerous sport. We've tried different ways to rectify the situation. Most recently, we've manufactured some frying pans out of Nerf, and that's helped quite a bit to soften the blow, as it were.
I can understand how a Nerf pan would help. Would help.
It does,
Betty.
Yeah.
How explain to us what this transition into Nerf has done for your sport and. And does it help bring you more present in the relationship?
Well, I think I've been very present. I hate to pat myself on the back, but I am always home and I never leave the home, and I have no social life. So I'm always home practicing with my pans. And mm-hmm. that Nerf pan, it just doesn't have the weight and heft of a standard size frying pan that I'm throwing in the competitions. And I've asked him on several occasions to wear a fencing mask at all times in the house. And he just doesn't care for that. Says it itches his face a little too much. And look, I hate to go this far, but I did bring Perry, our tenant, in.
Interesting.
I kind of want to have his point of view as well, kind of just an outside view on our relationship and all the conflict.
We typically don't have a third person in couples therapy, but I can definitely see how this could really help me understand mm-hmm. the situation. So Betty, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Perry.
Perry's cool.
Perry, explain to us what you see in this relationship.
Well, I gotta admit, Betty makes a mean fried egg, right?
Yeah.
Whether the that's true. Excuse me, cast iron is flinging or swinging, you know what I mean, on the burner. You know, I feel discourse, but I also feel a little racehorse, too. So,
all right.
I'm
all right, this is helping me tie it all together, yeah. And I think I have a solution that might help you.
Oh, really?
Betty, yeah. Consider maybe practicing in a closed environment, maybe a basement, maybe on a target range. James, maybe yeah. we don't walk in front of Betty when she's wielding cast iron and possibly, just a suggestion, okay. keep the kids and animals out of the room while she practices.
I'm taking notes, man.
I just want to say one thing.
Yes, Perry.
It is a little weird that they started making fryer pans out of their son Nerf.
Hello.
What can I do for you?
Hi. My name's Patricia, and I have these. I am here to tell you about this product that I have made that I think would sell great in your store.
All right, you're doing great. Okay. Just get it out.
Thank you.
You're good. You're good. You're okay. good. All right. Deep breath. So, calm down. Focus. Focus. You got this.
I have a variety of flatware made of different things that people could eat their food off of. This is my pottery plate. And this is my glass plate. And this is my Nerf plate. It's very light.
I can see that. Yeah. I like the fact that they're all a set. This is nice. This is nice.
I made it with families in mind.
Because I can see that.
Some people are really clumsy, like little kids, and they go to pick up their plate off of the counter and they drop it, and oh no. But with Nerf, it doesn't break.
Okay. Yeah, and the benefit is you have a plate that's super absorbent.
Yes. It's ideal for eating dry foods, not beverages, not food, you don't want to drink a beverage out of this. Oh my God, it's not a good plate, is it? I shouldn't have come to you yet. This wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for this.
Hey, don't doubt yourself. Look, we move product all the time. Hell, just 2 weeks ago, we sold a potato chip that looked like Moses. We deal in everything, all right?
Okay.
I think what you might need to do is just rethink your approach, right? Take a look at the negatives and sell those as positives. Here's an example.
Okay.
This plate here, yes, it's soft. Yes, it's absorbent. But the nice thing about it is with this Nerf plate, you can do one of two things. You can go in the backyard, throw it around, play a game of catch. You could eat your chips off it. Eat mac and cheese off it. Even better, eat mac and cheese off it. The next day, grilled cheese sandwich will taste like that mac and cheese.
Oh my gosh, you're like really, really good at this. You should be a salesman!
Thanks for the suggestion. Now,
Look, I understand what you're trying to get at here, and I understand how you're trying to get at it. But I want to see you, approach this, believe in the product, look at the limitations of the product, and find a reason why those limitations solve a problem that I might have. All right?
Okay.
Hey, Larry. It's me, Lenny, from out back in the adult section.
Yeah, Lenny, what can I help you with?
I've been noticing all our cardboard DVD cases are coming back a little soggy. Do you have any ideas for something a little more sturdy that we could put our DVDs in?
You know, Lenny, it's funny you should ask that. All right. Patricia, this is Lenny. Do you have something that Lenny might be able to use to help with that product?
Hello, Lenny. I am Patricia, the plate maker, and I have made the perfect plate for you. It is a plate that is particularly DVD-shaped. It's like that was planned, and it is keeping everything. It absorbs all moisture. It doesn't let anything get wet because it absorbs all the moisture. I think that this would be the perfect product for your DVDs. Oh my God, Patricia the Plate Maker. That's so brilliant. That's my new business name.
I'll take them all.
Balderdash Academy's Teacher's Lounge was produced and edited by Bob LeBlanc. Theme music by Think Fish Tank. Performed and written by Steve Corning, Carla Rose Dubois, Nate Green, Randy Hunt, Bob LeBlanc, Molly McGill, and Marie Stewart Harmon. Copyright 2021, Robert J. LeBlanc and Steve Corning, all rights reserved.